You have a Bible, I would invite you to turn to the book of Acts, okay? That's the fifth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and put a ribbon there, all right? Because we're going to be here a while, like a year or more, okay? Excited to start walking through the book of Acts together today. This is our eighth book that we've done as a church since I've been here, so in 7.5 years. So got another 40 in us, hopefully, so we'll get a few more in. But Acts is the second half, really, of the Gospel of Luke. So Luke wrote two books. He wrote the Gospel of Luke and he wrote Acts, and they're both written to the same person, a guy named Theophilus. And I want us to look today at just kind of how we're going to intro the book of Acts today, okay? This is more of an intro and looking back how kind of it ties in with Luke, and we'll see these things about Acts. And I want to tell you up front, okay, I studied for this sermon for about a month, okay, which is usually not a good thing for me because that means I'll have this much stuff to talk about, and then you never have more than this much time to do it in. And so I had about a 7-page sermon outline that now is only 3, okay? So you're okay. Well, we still have the 11 o'clock service to get out of here for. But there is so many things we could talk about. We kind of whittled it down to a few things that we want to get our hearts and our minds around, and hopefully then over the next 50 or so weeks as we walk through the book, we can kind of pick up some of those other things. But let's see a few things here about these letters or these books that we can learn from. We're going to start in Luke 1:1. We'll jump over to Acts 1, okay? But if you want to flip to Luke 1:1, we'll see these two things that go here and hopefully learn a few things about this. And if you like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little card here that should have been in your seat. We'll walk through these things together. Luke 1, okay? Go back and see what Luke said as he began this letter, this gospel that he wrote to Theophilus. He said, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good for me also, having followed all things closely for some time, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus," okay, this guy's name means God lover, "that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught," okay? But what is the goal here? The goal, when Luke writes the Gospel of Luke to Theophilus, his goal is to help Theophilus have more certainty in the gospel, right? His goal is that he would understand the gospel more clearly and have more certainty in this gospel that he has put his hope and his faith in. I want to see a few of the things that Luke gives us in that, okay? We'll kind of overread the book of Luke really quickly here. In Luke, we find certainty in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the point of the gospel of Luke, is that for Theophilus, that he would have more certainty in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for us as well, okay? If you are struggling in your faith, if you're struggling to trust and follow Jesus, I mean, my first encouragement to you is going to be to go read the Word of God, all right? You go read His Word. You go see what His Word has to say. And you can have certainty in the things that you've been taught when you know God in His Word. It's what Luke does for Theophilus, and it's what the Gospel of Luke does for all of us. We can have more certainty in this gospel. A few things, okay, that you can be certain of because of the truth of the Word of God. Number one is that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That He is the Messiah. We'll get into this some during this time, but He is the Messiah that has fulfilled the old covenant. That this gospel, okay, this gospel of Jesus Christ is for all the peoples of the earth. It's not just for the Jews, okay? It's for all the peoples of the earth. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus has died for our sins. Jesus was resurrected and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, where He reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords. We can be certain of these things, okay? We can be certain of our Savior and who He is and what He does. So that's what he starts out in Luke 1. Jump over to Acts 1, all right? Acts 1, verses 1 through 3. In the first book, O Theophilus, see? First book, Luke. Second book, Acts, all right? In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when He was taken up. After He had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Okay, so he tells them, we left off, right? We left off in the end of Luke with Jesus being ascending into heaven. He says, we talked about those things, and now he's going to pick that up. He's going to pick the story up. Really, again, this is kind of the second volume of this whole work that Luke is writing to Theophilus. He's pointing him to these things about Jesus. A few things that I want us to see, okay? A few things I want us to see, and then some prayers that I have for us as we journey through this book together. But I want you to see how Luke and Acts work together. See how these books really function as one unit and what it is that Luke is trying to accomplish here. Again, we could talk about a bunch of things. We're going to talk about three, right? Three things that we see in these books working together and the focus of what they're talking about. The first focus that we see in both Luke and Acts is that it is focused on the person and the work of Jesus Christ, right? Book of Luke is focused on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Book of Acts is focused on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. This is the work of God in and through the apostles to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus is, I want to make sure you get this though, because I think so many times we can let something sneak into our hearts and even sneak into our churches if we aren't careful. The focus of the Bible is Jesus, okay? The focus of the gospels is Jesus. The focus of the book of Acts is Jesus. The focus of the Bible is Jesus. It's not you. It's not me. The Bible is not a self-help manual, right? It's not a playbook, coaches. It's not, all right? It's not what it is. The Bible is a book about how God has come to redeem his people from their sins. And in this egocentric, okay, this man, me-centered world that we live in, we need to be really, really careful that we don't read ourselves into the center of every story in the Bible. You're not the center of the story of the Bible. I'm not the center of the story of the Bible. Jesus is the center of the story of the Bible, okay? So we need to make sure that we get that the Bible is about who he is and what he has done, not about me, not about you. It's about Jesus. Let's not be egocentric, me-centered. When we come to reading the Bible, let's be, big word for you, Christocentric, okay? Christ-centered. The Bible is a story of God, his love and his grace and his mercy coming to redeem his people from their sins. It is about the person and the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done and what the implications of that are, okay? He is the Son of God. That's who he is. He is the fulfillment of the old covenant that's made, right, with Abraham. And he is the initiator, or the one that inaugurates this new covenant that God has made with his people. Jesus fulfills the old covenant, and he has initiated this new covenant. He is the focus, though. We want to make sure that when we come to his word, we focus on him, because only Christ has the words of eternal life, right? Only Christ can change our hearts and our lives and our minds. Only Christ can send us on this mission to glorify God by making disciples of the nations. Only Jesus can do those things. And so we want to, as we talk about it around here, we want to shine a really, really bright light on Jesus. And not on ourselves, not on what we do. We want to shine that light on Jesus. He says there at the end of Luke 24, he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. And everything written about me, and the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He has fulfilled these things. And then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. How I pray the Spirit will continue to do that with us. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day be raised from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And as he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Okay? It's a focus on Christ. Second focus that we see in Luke and then in Acts is they focus on the people of God, the church, okay? The people of God is the church, and they focus on that. Really, the story of Acts is the story of this gospel going from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, okay? Hasn't gotten there yet, but it's this ever-expanding gospel going out and God redeeming his people from their sins, adopting them into his family, making them his people, making them his church. This is what the story is. The church of Jesus Christ is established and sent to be the witnesses of this great news, this gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations of the earth. And really what we're going to see in Acts is this happening. It starts out the first 12 or so chapters in Jerusalem, and then we see it begin to go, right? See it begin to go and to take this gospel to the nations. And we see what God does through his church and these apostles in that. Acts 1, he's going to tell them this. When they come together, they ask, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? So they're still trying to figure this out, right? They're thinking he's going to establish the throne of David in a literal sense, and he's going to become the king of Israel, and they're all going to be his cabinet. You're going to establish his kingdom now. And he said, it is not for you to know the times and seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay? He's going to focus on the people of God, the church, and what God is doing in them and what God is doing through them. And then thirdly, okay, the books of Luke and Acts both focus on the sovereignty of God. And look, I know that's a big church word, and sometimes we can gloss over big church words. All that means is that God's in charge of everything, okay? When we say that God's sovereign, we're saying he's in charge of everything. What's everything? Everything, right? He's in charge of everything. And we see that. We see that in the book of Luke when God is orchestrating the plans and the events all the way up to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. We're going to see that in the book of Acts. God is guiding their steps. He is showing them which ways to go. He is with them, leading them. That's what he is doing in their lives. He's going to continue to do that. As Jesus accomplishes his work in Acts and the church goes forth to proclaim the good news in Acts, God is working. And that should cause us to take a really deep breath, okay? And understand that all is well because God is working. God is leading and guiding them throughout this mission, and God continues to lead us, okay? And it's why the graphic. So this is our sermon graphic. Josh does all our graphics around here, and he's phenomenal at it. But when you see this, this picture is this new covenant has begun, this dot over here. We're going to see it work its way through the book of Acts. But it doesn't end in the book of Acts. There's an arrow here, okay? It's continuing to go. Because of a sovereign God that is leading and guiding us, it's a continuing mission. It's a continuing goal to see the nations come to know how great our God is and how he has shown them that through his son, Jesus Christ. It is an ever-expanding mission because it is an ever-expanding kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom of God is ever-going, ever-expanding. The good news of Jesus Christ establishing and building his church is one that will continue on. Again, it doesn't end in the book of Acts, and hear me, church, it doesn't end with Capstone. Thank God, right? There's probably going to be a day Capstone Church isn't here anymore. But guess what's going to be here? The church of Jesus Christ. It's not dependent on you and me. It's depending on God. He said and read it over and over again in Christmas in Isaiah chapter 9, right? This is an everlasting kingdom. Of the increase of his kingdom and his peace, there will be no end. To establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And how's it going to happen? The zeal of the Lord of hosts. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. It's not my zeal that's going to accomplish this. It's not your zeal that's going to accomplish this. It's the zeal of the God who's in charge of everything that's going to accomplish this. We're going to see that over and over and over and over again in the book of Acts. And I pray that as we see it, as we see God opening doors and closing doors and opening jail cells, right? I mean, all of these things. Using dreams to call people to himself. That's what, see, God doing all these things we're going to do. Our prayers, we see that, we'll go, man, how great is our God? Man, he's really in charge of everything. And he loves me. He loves you. He doesn't need us, but he loves us and he wants us. And he's going to use us
as he uses these men and these women in this book.
In Acts chapter 5, we see this with Gamaliel, which is a great name, who was Paul's mentor, okay? Acts 5, they've brought some of the apostles before the council here. And brought them and they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at the right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But then a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside so they could talk it over, right, for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you're going to do with these men. For before the days of Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in this present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan is an undertaking of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, and it is, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found to be opposing God." So they took his advice, and they were called. They called the apostles in. They beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing. Think about this. Rejoicing, these apostles, that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor in his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is Jesus. You see, even these Jewish leaders that did not believe in Jesus, they understood if God is doing something, no one's going to stop it. Right? We're not stopping it. We might even be found to be against God if we do this. We don't want to do that. Okay, six things. It was five, it was four, then it was five, then it was six, then it was eight, and it's back to six. Things that I pray God's going to stir in our hearts as we study this book, okay? Six things that I pray God will do as we journey through the book of Acts together. Number one is this, that God will give us more certainty in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look, we live in uncertain times, right? Your heart can feel uncertain at times, your mind. And I pray that as we study the Word of God together, that God would give us more certainty about these things that we've been taught, that we believe about Jesus. Like, I believe them, right? I believe these things. Help me believe them more. Help me be more certain of this gospel that I believe in, that I've put my hope in, that I'm building my life on, that I'm raising my kids in. God, would you give me more certainty about these things that I've been taught? And I believe that as we study his word, he will, okay? He's gonna give that to us. Not because I'm not going to give it to you, okay? He's going to give it to us through the power of his word. That we would have more certainty concerning this gospel of Jesus Christ. Number two, that we would have a deeper love and confidence in his word. We want to know his word. We want to believe his word. We want to follow his word. I want to be confident, okay? This is the word of God and I can trust it. And we want to help your kids do that, right? That's something we want to do together as a church. Have a deep, deep love for God's word. To have great confidence in his word. Thirdly, that we would trust more fully in the goodness and the sovereignty of God in all things. We could see these moments in this book, and it would cause us to go, man, God really, he's working these things together for my good and for his glory. Even when it doesn't feel good, even when it doesn't seem good, he is working and I can trust him. See that over and over and over again in the book of Acts. And I pray that as we see that, it would cause us to look at our lives and go, hey, you know what? I can trust him. He is great and he is good. And I can put my hope in him. Even when things seem really grim even when they seem dim, even though this wasn't on my poster board that I created for my life, I can trust him because he knows better than me and he is working these things together for my good. Four, which I think is really important today in the church, we pray that we will have a better understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit, right? I think the Holy Spirit gets charged with some things that aren't his doing at times. And I think there's also a lot of times we don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit for what he's doing. And so my prayer is that as we study the book of Acts, we will understand more clearly the work of the Holy Spirit, what he is doing, what he does, how his baptism works, what the gifts that he brings are, right? And if you're scared of that, don't be, right? Don't be scared of that. It's good. It's good to know the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Godhead. I think the thing about the Holy Spirit that for a lot of us, particularly if you grew up in the, if you grew up Pentecostal, you might have a little bit better understanding of the Holy Spirit, okay? If you grew up Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or Catholic, what's that? And my prayer is that we would just go to God's Word and see, what does God's Word have to say to us about his Spirit? What is he up to? What is he doing? What does this mean? How does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? What does this mean? Okay? There's a lot of misunderstanding about what that means. There's a lot of unbiblical teaching about what that means. We want to dive in and see, what does the Word of God say about these things? I think as we study the book of Acts, we will have a better understanding of the work that the Holy Spirit is accomplishing both in our world and in our lives. Five, I pray that we'll develop a deeper love for Jesus' church. Okay? We see this throughout the book of Acts. We see the church going and the church growing, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and then in Samaria, and then we leave it in the end of the book of Acts with the ends of the earth at that time, okay? And I pray that we would have a deep love for Jesus' church when we read this. And look, the church is not perfect, right? We all already knew the church wasn't perfect. And maybe for you, you've seen that even more clearly in recent days and weeks and months and years. The church is not perfect. But that doesn't mean we should not love her, because she is Jesus' bride. You can't love Jesus correctly and not love his bride. It's the bride of Christ. She's not perfect. She's broken. But Jesus loves her. And we should love her. And my prayer is that in all the church's imperfections, in all the church's just totally ruining things at times, that we would, as we study God's Word, as we see what God is doing and God's love for his church, that we too would love his church because he loves her, for that we would love her. And sixth, okay, finally, that we would have a greater zeal for this great gospel to be known to the ends of the earth. That we, as we see this, as we see God working and moving in the Ethiopian eunuch's life, as we see him working and moving in Paul's address to the men of Athens, you know, as we see God sending Peter to Cornelius, we see this happening over and over and over again, that God would develop in us a greater zeal, a greater passion to make Jesus known where he has not been known, to preach Christ where he has not been preached, to encourage the church all over the world, right? That we would have a great zeal, a greater zeal, for this great gospel to go from here to the ends of the earth, from here to there and everywhere, okay? That's my prayer for us, that these are the things that God would accomplish in us. We'd have more certainty in the gospel of Jesus Christ, a deeper love for his word, more trust in his goodness and sovereignty, a better understanding of his Spirit, a deeper love for the church, and greater passion to make him known. First things first, though, okay? First things first. As we begin this new year, I want to ask all of you a question. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you personally put your trust in Christ? Have you asked him to be your Savior? If you have not trusted Christ, man, I want to invite you
Before we go on this journey to understand these things better, you would first trust Jesus. You would trust him. That you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That you would believe in your heart that these things are true. That Jesus came. He died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And if you will trust him, hear me. If you'll trust Christ this morning, he will forgive you of your sins and make you his own. Not because of your goodness, not because of all the things you've done right, but simply because he loves you. Just confess with your mouth, he is Lord. Believe in your heart that he is who he says he is, and he will save you this morning. And man, we'd love to talk to you about that if you have any questions about how to do that or what that looks like or what that means. Would you join me as we pray together? Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for a chance to gather here. Lord, you've graciously given us your word that we can know you. Lord, for any men and women or boys and girls that are here or maybe even watching online that need to trust Christ, Lord, I pray your spirit would move in their hearts and their lives, that they would confess with their mouth that you are Lord. You really are Lord. And they would believe these things about you. And that you would save them. And God, may we be able to help one another follow you. So Lord, as we journey this road together over the next year or so, I pray your spirit would guide us, help us, cause us to be more certain about this great gospel. Help us to trust you more, God, and help us to follow you more faithfully. I pray in Jesus' name.